You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Russia's Ministry of Defense says its website sustained a distributed denial-of-service attack this morning. Facebook disrupts a complex Iranian catfishing operation aimed at military personnel and employees of defense and aerospace companies. Microsoft and Citizen Lab describe the recent operations of an Israeli intercept tool vendor. The U.S. shows no signs of relenting on Huawei. Johannes Ulrich from the SANS Technology Institute has been hunting phishing sites with Shodan. Our guest is Rick Van Gallen from 1Password with insights from their Hiding in Plain Sight report. And there's nothing new on the R-Evil front. The gang is as much in the wind as it was early this week. From the CyberWire studios at DataTribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Friday, July 16th, 2021. TASS reports that a website belonging to Russia's Ministry of Defense was taken offline this morning by a distributed denial-of-service attack. According to Reuters, the attack was stopped and access restored in about an hour. Russian authorities attribute the attack to a source outside the Russian Federation. Facebook yesterday said it had disrupted an operation by the Iranian threat group Tortoiseshell, whose fake persona used Facebook in an initial catfishing approach to military personnel and people who work in the defense and aerospace sector. As Facebook put it, fewer than 200 inauthentic accounts were disabled. These accounts often posed as recruiters and employees of defense and aerospace companies from the countries their targets were in. Other personas claimed to work in hospitality, medicine, journalism, NGOs, and airlines. The initial lure was generally the prospect of discussing employment opportunities. The operation as a whole was patient, complex, and designed for plausibility. Most of the intended targets were in the U.S., with some in Europe. Tortoiseshell used Facebook to establish contact and trust, eventually hoping to persuade its prospects to contact them in other ways and channels, and those other channels were where the malware payloads were delivered. Tortoiseshell is thought to have connections with the well-known Iranian threat actors APT-34, commonly called Helix Kitten, and APT-35, known to many as Charming Kitten. The tools Tortoiseshell deploys against its targets include remote access trojans, device and network reconnaissance tools, and keyloggers, many of which were developed by Mahak Rayan Afraz, a Tehran-based IT company associated with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. It's not the first operation of this kind that in recent years has been traced to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Wired describes some of Tehran's earlier efforts along these lines. Quote, Symantec noted back in 2019 that the group had also used some software tools also spotted in use by Iran's APT-34 hacking group, which has used social media lures across sites like Facebook and LinkedIn for years. Mandiant's Hultquist says it roughly shares some characteristics with the Iranian group known as APT-35-2, which is believed to work in the service of the IRGC. APT-35's history includes using an American defector, military intelligence defense contractor Monica Witt, to gain information about her former colleagues that could be used to target them with social engineering and phishing campaigns. End quote. Iran has historically used online methods in developing target dossiers on persons of interest to its intelligence services. This most recent campaign seems to be squarely in that operational tradition. Also yesterday, the Microsoft Threat Intelligence Center, MSTIC, and the Microsoft Security Response Center, MSRC, reported on the activities of a private sector offensive actor, a company that would probably characterize itself as a lawful intercept vendor. The company, which Microsoft assigned the name Sour Gum, is selling intercept tools to governments that are using them to monitor the communications of journalists, dissidents, and other people in bad odor with the regime deploying the intercept tool. Microsoft wrote, quote, "Sour Gum generally sells cyber weapons that enable its customers, often government agencies around the world, to hack into their targets' computers, phones, network infrastructure, and internet-connected devices. These agencies then choose who to target and run the actual operations themselves." End quote. Microsoft calls the intercept software itself, which exploits Windows Zero Days patched this week, "Devil's Tongue." Targets of the surveillance tool have been found in the Palestinian Authority, which had about half of the victims identified, Israel, Iran, Lebanon, Yemen, Spain, specifically Catalonia, the United Kingdom, Turkey, Armenia, and Singapore. As Microsoft observes, the location of a target isn't perfectly correlated with the government using sour gum. International targeting of individuals is common, and none of the countries listed are necessarily users of Devil's Tongue. Microsoft acknowledged the University of Toronto's Citizen Lab for its assistance in the investigation, and Citizen Lab identifies Sour Gum as the Tel Aviv-based company whose original name was Candiru. Candiru's past customers are believed to include Uzbekistan, Qatar, Singapore, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. The company has been through several rebrandings since its founding in 2014. In 2020, it assumed its current name, Saito Tech Limited. Some of the corporate names appear to represent low-cunning gestures toward misdirection. Citizen Lab and others reporting the incident have generally been sticking to the first name the company did business as. Candiru's intercept tools aren't confined to Windows systems. The Register notes that the company also offers products that can monitor iPhones, Android devices, and Macs. More than 750 domains are said to have been used to host Candiru's surveillance software. Many of those domains misrepresent themselves as belonging to media companies, advocacy groups, and civic organizations, which suggests that journalists and activists, not criminals or terrorists, are the probable quarry. Candiru, or Saito, is the latest of a series of intercept tool vendors based in Israel to run afoul of legal and reputational trouble for their willingness to assist repressive regimes conduct surveillance of domestic targets. The best known of these is NSO Group, currently engaged in a lawsuit brought in U.S. federal court by WhatsApp. Huawei is unlikely to receive a reprieve from its present restriction from U.S. markets. The present U.S. administration has, through the Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Security, reasserted its predecessor's strictures against the Chinese company, Fox Business reports. And finally, there's nothing new about REvil or Russia-based ransomware gangs, generally. Secplicity has blogged its opinion that REvil probably hasn't gone anywhere, that such groups rarely disappear entirely. So, perhaps the gang has temporarily gone to ground. There have been no official announcements of takedowns or other enforcement actions against REvil.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
The folks at 1Password recently published a report titled Hiding in Plain Sight: How Secrets Mismanagement is the Next Big Cybersecurity Threat. The report outlines the challenges IT and DevOps leaders face when keeping track of the wide spectrum of valuable secrets they're charged with keeping and securing. Rick Van Hollen is a security engineer at 1Password, and he joins us with highlights from the report.
You know, at 1Password, we're always about making secrets management easy to everyone. And we just started wondering what's going on with the folks that that probably have the hardest time and the most, you know, impactful consequences to mistakes in the process. How are they doing secrets management? And those folks, of course, are IT and DevOps folks. So we reached out to them to see what they had to say.
Well, let's go through some of the details together. What are some of the things that you uncovered here?
You know, there's a bunch of interesting stuff in here. So the first is just, you know, the scale of the problem. So 65%, almost 2 in 3 respondents, they say they have more than 500 secrets to manage. That's a large number. And 1 in 5 even say that they don't know how many they have. They have more than they can count.
How exactly do you define a secret in this case? What would be categorized as that?
That's a great question to define it. So any secret is something that you most often use to access other systems. So the traditional example, of course, are just, you know, regular passwords. But especially in IT and DevOps cases, you can extend that to things like API keys that must be shared amongst a bunch of people, or SSH private keys, or client certificates. Basically, anything that you use to go from one system to another. Now, if secrets management is hard, if it's hard for people to find where they keep secrets, or they lose them and they need stuff being reset, that slows down project time. And a longer project time leads to, you know, missing delivery dates, and that leads to, you know, an overall rise of cost in making your product or service.
One of the things that struck me in your report here also was that very often, for example, like if an employee leaves an organization, there may be a lag time between when they leave and all of the things that they had access to get shut down, or the, you know, there's a lot of information that can still be flowing that shouldn't be.
No, yeah, that's a very common problem, and I'm totally not surprised to see that in the report. It's just very hard to keep track of which secrets somebody who's leaving the company had access to, and it's very, very hard to be complete. And not only is it hard to be complete, it's also hard to be even near complete on rolling all the secrets that, you know, that are necessary when somebody leaves. And that's just because, you know, it's very difficult to keep track of what this person was able to access in the first place.
So based on the information that you all gathered here, what are your recommendations? What can organizations do to better get on top of this?
Right, so I think what's really key here is to remove friction. So a bunch of these numbers in our report, they really strongly indicate is that, you know, that people are experiencing a lot of friction working with secrets management. And as a result, you know, you're seeing workarounds or lack of manageability, lack of auditability. And what we really recommend is setting up a system, you know, where secrets are automatically deployed into infrastructure, where it's easy for everybody to get access to the secrets that they need access to, and make sure that that system is actually something that is, you know, intended to keep track of secrets, right, with the proper encryption and the proper access controls and the proper auditability. One thing that I'd like to point out, and this ties into the reducing friction part of this, is that you see, if you look at the distribution of how many people are admitting to employing bad security practices, like, you know, sharing secrets between projects, is that you see the number rise up amongst VPs, which is quite telling, because, you know, whom amongst IT and DevOps folks are the least tolerant to this kind of friction? It's likely going to be the VPs. But those are also in the position to actually make a change in how secrets management is being done. So I'd like to call on them to think about this problem and take some action.
That's Rick Van Hollen from 1Password. The report is titled Hiding in Plain Sight: How Secrets Mismanagement is the Next Big Cybersecurity Threat. There's a lot more to this conversation. If you want to hear the full interview, head on over to CyberWire Pro and sign up for Interview Selects, where you'll get access to this and many more extended interviews.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And joining me once again is Johannes Ulrich. He's the Dean of Research at the SANS Technology Institute and also the host of the ISE Stormcast podcast. Johannes, it's always great to have you back. You got an interesting method, an interesting technique for trying to hunt down some phishing sites. What can you share with us today?
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Dave. So this is about trying to find websites that impersonate your brand. And there's nothing really you can do against someone setting up a website like that. The trick is, how do you find it? And then, of course, you know, how do you initiate some kind of a takedown process or so for it? Mm. In some cases, you got it easy and the phisher was lazy and it's just including images from your website directly, you know, saving the phisher's bandwidth, but of course giving you hints that someone is loading these images with an odd referrer, for example. Well, the better phishers, they wised up to that. They host their own images. After all, they probably don't pay for hosting anyway. We have a nice tool here, Shodan. Shodan turns out indexes these little FAF icons. These are the little icons that you often see displayed in the URL bar, depending on your browser. And well, the attacker, of course, will copy that image from your site in order to have a good representation of your site. And you can search Shodan for these images. Shodan actually converts these images into a 32-bit number. There's something called a murmur hash they're using here to do that. So once you know what that hash is for your FAF icon, it's really easy to plug that into Shodan, get a list of all the sites that use that particular FAV icon. And well, then, of course, you still have to figure out which one is actually a phishing site or just some marketing person setting up a website without you knowing about it.
Right. Release the takedown notices.
Yeah. Sometimes I've seen them also go wrong, kind of in a way you basically don't know about all the legitimate websites that necessarily are used for your brand. That can be really tricky too.
Right. I suppose, especially if you're an international brand, you know, it could be that, the European division of your company is up to something that maybe you weren't tracking that closely.
Yeah. And, you often have that often cited shadow IT where people aren't happy with the speed at which you implement things because of all those stupid security checks. So they just go out there and set up their little website themselves. Also found a couple development sites that way, you know, where you do hire a company to develop a website for you, and they leave the development site exposed to the world, which is kind of a nice find too. So it's not always a phishing site that is a good find, but something like these exposed development sites also kind of a good thing to find.
Yeah, for sure. All right, interesting stuff. Johannes Ulrich, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. Be sure to check out this weekend's Research Saturday program and my conversation with Nathan Howe from Zscaler. We're going to be discussing their research on emerging attacks and how best to counter them. That's Research Saturday. Do check it out. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Justin Sabe, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here next week.